The Buffalo Bills 2023 season is officially underway as the Bills take down the Colts 23-19 in the first preseason game.
You are now listening to the Watering Buffalo podcast with your hosts, Justin Goddard and Andrew Chang.
Bills Mafia, welcome into this week's episode of the Watering Buffalo podcast, a show on the Buffalo Fanbase Podcast Network. My name is Justin. I'll be your host tonight. And guys, we made it. Football season is underway, albeit preseason games, but I'll take preseason football over pretty much any other sport. Just love football so much. Glad we're on the cusp of a regular season. And, you know, instead of talking about theories and teams on paper and all that types of stuff, We have actual football content to talk about. And that tonight is going to be the Buffalo Bills taking down the Colts 23-19. For what it's worth, we can say, you know, preseason doesn't matter. You know, these aren't the starters, blah, blah, blah. I know all that's very true. But first and foremost, I do still love the team coming away with a win. It always feels better after a win regardless. But also just kind of getting to explore the depth on this team is really interesting to me because we've had such a like core nucleus on this team for the past, you know, three to five years, with a lot of like cornerstone players, and it's kind of a couple players that will actually make an impact rotating in and out each year. So preseason ends up being kind of that opportunity where we see some of these younger guys, some of these free agents that we brought in that, you know, hopefully if all things go right, we don't really see a ton of them in the regular season. But also a season like last year kind of reminds you of how deep you have to be as a football team to really get over the hump. You know, there can be all kinds of challenges that come up throughout the season, and we saw a crazy extreme version of that last year, where it wasn't just starters going down, it was like Von Miller, Micah Hyde impact level starters. So it's kind of nice seeing how the roster is rounded out. So I want to talk a little bit about tonight's game. I will say that I have only watched this preseason game once so far. It's kind of like my quick live reactions, you know, right after the game. I was at work. I just got home from work, and this is what I got. And for what it's worth, I've missed football so much that I'll end up sitting down and rewatching this game probably 2-3 times before next Saturday's game. So as we go forward, you know, if we get a little bit more thoughts, might throw them out there. If there's anything that you felt strongly about that I missed or you disagree with something I said, drop it in the comments. This is my favorite time of year to get, you know, some discussion going when we're looking at, you know, what players will or won't make the roster, things like that, as we see this team take shape. So I'm going to start on the defensive side of the ball today. I feel like me and almost every other show like to lead up with offense most of the time. But I was overall pretty pleased with the defense today. 19 points against a pretty bad Colts team. Again, we're getting into the depth of this roster. So it's not like they allowed a crazy amount of points. Start out with some of the things I liked. My favorite thing from this game was, I would say, the defensive line and in particular the defensive tackle depth. So we didn't even see Daquan Jones and Jordan Phillips play at all tonight. And I thought that we were very sound up front. Yeah, we allowed, you know, a few decent chunks on the ground. But overall, I thought they were pretty stout up front. The short yardage run defense was looking great. Had a couple stops on fourth and short, you know, turnover on downs, third and short. I thought not only were they plugging up run lanes well, but they were also getting after the quarterback and getting some pressure. We saw later in the game, DJ Dale get a half sack. Unfortunately, does end up hurt on the play. We'll have to wait to see some more about that. We had earlier in the game, Tim Settle and Boogie Basham after the quarterback a couple times. And so this went from, you know, like the very top of the roster that played tonight. Like I said, Daquan Jones, Jordan Phillips, not in there. But we saw it top down, even getting into some of the tail end of the guys on that rotation there. Eli Anku, Corey Broughton, or Cortez Broughton, just making plays up and down that defensive tackle depth. I liked overall, and I was kind of surprised to see some of the blitzes, some of the aggression that we saw throughout this game on defense. And I really expect McDermott to dial it up a notch this season. I've talked about this in the past. As a coordinator in the past, he's been a little bit more aggressive. I think with this offense being able to move the ball pretty well, at least in years past, I've kind of wanted the defense to be a little bit more complementary in, you know, being aggressive, not being afraid to, you know, try to jump around. And if you make a mistake, it's not like, you know, if you give up a long play for 7 points that your offense isn't going to ever be able to make up that score. So I think we saw some aggression tonight, and I was mostly surprised to see that, because, you know, preseason games usually pretty vanilla. You're doing, you know, your most basic of playbooks. You don't want to show off too much for the regular season. But I mean, we were seeing cornerback blitzes, safety blitzes, all kinds of stuff. Speaking of the secondary, saw Dane Jackson in there tonight, getting the first look, and I thought he played well. He came away with an interception. It was a play where there was a combined pressure from Groot and Saran Neal, kind of forces Richardson to do this weird sidearm delivery, just kind of got away from him. Dane Jackson pulls down the interception, and, you know, there's still time left throughout the preseason. We're not, you know, setting the 53-man roster today. But I think Dane Jackson is projecting to be that starter opposite of Trey White right now. And I don't think it's as close as I would like for it to be. We saw Benford and Elam out there, Benford playing on special teams, and they both kind of got extended work with the twos, and it's not really lending me to believe that they're in like direct competition with Dane Jackson right now. Usually, you know, they get the guys that they think are going to be the starters out of the first game pretty quickly. Whereas Elam and Benford both had extended run today. And I know that's not what a lot of Bills Mafia wants to hear, especially, you know, Elam being a first round pick that you moved up to get. We only brought Dane Jackson back on a 1-year deal, so maybe Elam falls into this category of, you know, the third year leap. Maybe we're going to have to wait till next year. Maybe we'll see how it shakes out through the rest of preseason, and he's able to snag that job away. But as of right now, I don't see it. I don't see it being anybody other than Dane Jackson, unless we see some wild stuff over the last two preseason games. And then at the safety position, I don't know about y'all, but it was really awesome seeing Micah Hyde back out there, as well as Damar Hamlin. Just a couple of dudes that had just different types of injuries. Ones where when I see them kind of getting like the first contact, I'm kind of tensing up a little bit to see what happens. You know, this isn't your run-of-the-mill ACLs that, you know, people bounce back from pretty well at this point. You know, those injuries take some time. We all know that. But kind of where sports science has gotten to, it's not the death sentence that it used to be for an athlete to have a torn ACL and have to come back from that. But with Micah Hyde in the neck injury and, you know, Damar Hamlin having the heart issue on the field, that was a couple guys that I was kind of curious on whether or not they would really ever be comfortable playing again. So just seeing them out there getting involved in some hits, you know, Damar Hamlin's out there on special teams, doing all the things you want to see them do on the football field. That was really awesome to me. Damar Hamlin in particular, just kind of such an inspiring story and something that kind of transcends football. Like, you know, everybody across every fan across the NFL knows the story, but this one outside of football, this was, you know, like mainstream news type of stuff. So with a lot of eyes watching him, to be able to get back out there and suit up and play football, and it's not just playing football, it's at such a high level, to be out there competing was just amazing to see, and not something I can say that I would be able to do. So hats off to him. Gonna take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side, we're gonna get into some of the offense today. Stick around.
Hey, this is Dick DeGroat, Bill's dad. Now back to the show.
Welcome back in, and thank you again for joining me on this week's episode of the Wandering Buffalo Podcast. We're talking week one preseason, but if I've had you stick around this long, just got to drop it in there. If you could do us all a favor, like, share, subscribe, tell a friend about it. We got the regular season coming up. We're going to be talking Bills football every week, show after every game. So make sure you're not missing everything. Hit the subscribe button. And then we do have the website up as well, wanderingbuff.com. Our producer, Jake, has been putting in a ton of work on the website. We got articles, merch. We're going to be ramping it up. We got a couple new writers in the works right now that are going to start contributing to the website as well. So just some additional bonus content. You can get in there, drop some comments. Drop anything you want us to talk about on the show. We'll keep you in the loop. So I want to talk about the offensive side of the ball in this preseason game. And overall, I was pretty pleased with the offense. I thought it was interesting to me to see Osiris Torrence get the first team reps. I was kind of expecting Bates to get the first shot at it, and to see Torrence out there was cool. You guys know how I feel about this. I like Bates as a player. I think he's one of those kinds of guys that's, you know, you're trying to get a promotion at work and it's like, hey, you're kind of too good at what you do and we're going to kind of need you to stay in the role you're in. And for Bates, that's being kind of a higher end backup at multiple positions. You know, he can play all five. In particular, he can play all the slots across the interior. And that's one of the things I've had issue with in the past of, you know, if somebody goes down on the line, we're shifting somebody over to center, and now we got a backup coming in at this spot, and this guy's flipping to that side. And as much as I have liked Ryan Bates and I would like him to get that shot at the first team, and again, week one of preseason, this isn't saying anything's over at this point, but to have that multiplicity as as a backup if one of these guys goes down. That's something that has tremendous value in the NFL. So Torrence being out there, I thought he more than held his own. I thought the line, I think the offensive line as a whole looked better than I was expecting week one of preseason. Now, as we got down into the depth, I think there was, you know, some more concerns, and hell, it's hard to get five good offensive line together in the NFL in general. There's kind of a shortage of offensive line talent. So getting into the depth, you know, not surprising to me. But I thought overall the first team unit held up pretty well. Didn't see really much from our tight ends today. As far as, you know, Knox and Kincaid, the guys that people have eyeballs on. Only a total of, I think, six snaps. Kincaid ran like one route, wasn't targeted. But I will say that they were both involved in the blocking for the James Cook touchdown, which is a fun little scamper and a nice little wrinkle to the 12 personnel. We also saw Sherfield involved with the block on that play, and James Cook ran in, I think it was untouched. So that was a nice play in the run game. It was nice to see a nice little push there. James Cook, I thought, had a pretty good day for, you know, the very limited action. 20 yards on four carries and a touchdown. That's good with me. Head over to the bench, young man. You're ready to go. But he's got like that burst in the wiggle, but I also saw him in him this game something that I don't remember seeing all that much last year, and that was he was kind of dropping his shoulder, finishing runs. So good to see that out of him. You know, he's not just this fragile scat back that's afraid to get hit. You know, he was out there delivering the blows as well. Really excited for what I saw out of Latavius Murray today. For being 33 years old and a very large running back, he still looks like he's got some juice to him. Not a crazy yards per carry or anything, but five carries for 18 yards. He also adds three catches on three targets for 21 yards. And he was rumbling. So I think the more that we've gotten into this offseason and with the Nyheim Hines injury, I think Latavius Murray not only makes this roster, I thought he was going to make the roster with Hines in the mix. But I think there's going to be a role for him. And I'm trying not to get myself too excited about an aging running back. But just having that bigger body in there and seeing him still, you know, have some tread on the tires, just kind of makes me think about like short yardage situations and goal line situations and all these spots where it used to be, you know, me sitting on the couch being an armchair coach. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a Josh Allen run, you know, quarterback sneaker bootleg. You have an option that you might be able to consistently rely on those situations. And not only can that take away hits from Josh Allen, but also when you do that play action naked bootleg with Josh Allen after you got punched in the face four times by Murray, it makes that play more effective as well. So something that this team was obviously been looking for. They tried to draft that player in Zach Moss. It didn't work out. I see Latavius Murray having a role on this offense. And then I want to move into, it'll be kind of the quarterbacks and the receivers lumped together here. Kyle Allen looked like he was struggling out there a bit today. Thought he was very clearly outplayed by Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley, 14 of 15 for 172 yards, two touchdowns, you know, damn near a perfect day. And Kyle Allen, same amount of attempts, but completes 8 passes, 122 yards. Obviously has the pick six. And I do want to give Kyle Allen a little leeway. There was two separate occasions where maybe, I mean, one of them to Shakir was a perfect ball, and Shakir makes the young man mistake of, you know, turning to run upfield before he secured the ball. So that was one instance. And then there was another drop pass by Quinton Morris. Both of those situations were passes that were completely catchable, that could have kept the drive alive. And, you know, Kyle Allen doesn't have the craziest stat line here. But it's also kind of, if he had 3-4 more pass attempts on that drive because it didn't sputter out because of a drop pass, you know, that stat line could look a little bit different. Matt Barkley went out there, balled out. I'm not all that surprised. We've seen this happen a few different times throughout Barkley's tenure here. Just a guy that's been in the system. He knows the system. He knows the guys on the field. And we've seen him pop off in preseason. We've seen him pop off in the regular season a couple times, against division rivals. Nonetheless, there was the game against the Jets where he came in a couple of years ago. That was like 41-17. And then there was the game that he started against the Dolphins, as you know, they're in a win and in situation for the playoffs. And Matt Barkley comes in with all the backups and lights them up to end their season. Is it still concerning for me? Do I want Matt Barkley to be our primary backup? No. But I would say this is more of a competition than I thought it would be. And, you know, it's not just this one preseason game. It's what we've been hearing throughout camp. Kyle Allen's been struggling. I would have to say Barkley's got the leg up right now. The receivers, I thought this was a very interesting game, and this is part of what I love with the preseason, is kind of these end of the depth chart battles. And you know, we didn't really see much from our top receiving options, right? Kincaid wasn't targeted. Diggs didn't play. I don't believe Gabe Davis had any targets. Hardy had just one target. So a lot of the receiving work that we saw today was kind of like this tail end competing for wide receiver six spot that, you know, I've been looking at as, you know, kind of a battle between, you know, a couple guys. And then through the first preseason game, at least, you know, that might end up being a little bit more interesting than I initially thought it would be. And one of the guys that really kind of perked my ears up today was Andy Isabella. And this is a guy coming in. He's lightning fast. We haven't really seen him stick around anywhere in the NFL so far. He was in Arizona. I think he stopped for a cup of coffee in Baltimore last year. But this is a guy that has return experience. Like I said, has that speed. And, you know, we're talking about a wide receiver six spot that's, you know, hopefully not going to play a ton of snaps on offense. And one of the biggest factors contributing to, you know, who gets that spot is if you can contribute on teams. We saw it with Andre Roberts. We saw it with Kumaro sticking around for so long because of his special teams ability. This team being a team that really values special teams impact. Andy Isabella is a guy that I wasn't expecting much from, but he might, you know, make a good run for it with his ability to contribute on special teams as well. And, you know, the guy that I thought was kind of the automatic nod for who's competing for that last receiver spot. Likely last receiver spot. They might keep more than six, but I don't think that's likely this year, especially with looking like we're going to lean into more 12 personnel. I think they keep an extra tight end. But Justin Shorter, you know, being a draft pick of this year, kind of like such a highly recruited player, obviously a physical specimen, but in one preseason game, we didn't see him do anything. And then, you know, a guy like Isabella comes in, he's returning punts, he's returning kicks. He has three catches on three targets, 42 yards. And then all these other guys that have kind of been around, practice squad guys, some undrafted guys. I mean, Keyshawn Johnson, also three catches, 42 yards. Marcel Aitman, two catches, 41 yards. Terrell Shavers, two catches on five attempts, 38 yards and a touchdown. Desmond Patton, three catches, 35 yards, a touchdown. I mean, going all the way through this depth, all of those dudes that are seemingly competing for probably one spot, maybe like two practice squad spots, putting up damn near identical stat lines. Now, I did think Shavers had a couple drops today, redeemed himself a bit with the touchdown. But that's going to be kind of my most interesting battle that shakes out. So on the offensive side of the ball, at least the most interesting battle left for me is what happens at right guard and then this wide receiver six battle. And I wanted to mention it on before the break, but I kind of saved it till the end here because it was the biggest question mark going into this season, and it still remains the biggest question mark. And that's the middle linebacker position. I didn't think Dodson looked good today. Didn't really inspire me to be like, okay, yeah, we're fine there. We were worried about nothing. He looked like he was shooting wrong gaps to me. He doesn't look great in pass coverage. I would have really liked to have seen Terrell Bernard be able to play today and see what he looked like, you know, compare it to what Dodson did against the same team. So not like a ton of hope inspired for me for Dodson. And then when we moved into the second team, we saw AJ Klein as the middle linebacker coming in, which I thought was interesting because Baylen Specter was kind of making noise for a little bit there. Figured with the Bernard injury, he might be running with the twos. AJ Klein was the next man up today. So I'll say that position battle is far from being over for me. And hopefully Bernard isn't out for, you know, an extended period of time. He's down with a hamstring right now. We've seen in the past with these types of injuries. This team likes to really take their time with the soft tissue injuries. You know, they're a higher risk for re-aggravating them. I would really love to see Bernard get some run in the preseason and see what that looks like. Maybe it'll make me feel a little bit better about that position. As it stands right now, I'm feeling like the middle linebacker is just going to be a weak spot on this team, and we're going to rely on all the other talent that we have on this roster to kind of make up for that spot for a year and kind of revisit it next year. Or I don't see us bringing somebody in at the trade deadline or anything like that. There's not a ton left on the free agent market. I think we might just be kind of rocking with a get by guy this year and reassessing next year. And I think McDermott is a smart enough football mind that he can make up for one weak spot on his defensive roster. You know, when you have guys, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Trey White, Taron Johnson, Von Miller, Groot, Daquan Jones, I mean, you have talent all over that defense. So to me, I have confidence in McDermott to still be able to field, you know, a top five defense, even if that is a weak spot on the roster. But definitely something we'll be looking at to see how that shakes out through the remainder of the preseason. That's going to do it for tonight's show. We got another game coming up next Saturday. That one is going to be against Pittsburgh. So we'll be coming to you again next Monday talking Bills Steelers. So we'll see you then. And until then, as always, go Bills.